think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Tight Ends in League City. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two, 713-780-3776 if you want to text the show. Also, get us on The Blitz Facebook page, find The Blitz, click like, send a message. If Aaron likes it, he'll read it. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Del V2, and at Degenerates 975. And I think we've got things worked out with the text line. If you want to text the show, you know the number for that. We are out here at Tight Ends in League City. And first hour, mix of Astros and Texans, which is pretty much what you would expect after a big weekend. And obviously we'll have some time tomorrow to look ahead to the series with the Nationals a little bit. And we talked about it somewhat on Friday. Going to be some great pitching matchups. But it really was important for the Astros to win that particular game so that you could line it up with Cole, Verlander, Greinke in the first three games.
Yeah, and especially because with Greinke pitching Game 3, that means he's going to get to swing the bat in the National League Park, which is a big deal. I think it was it almost couldn't have worked out better not having to pitch Cole in a Game 7 situation, because now we get Cole Scherzer in Game 1, which is ideal. And I was lucky enough to snag a couple tickets to it.
Oh, good job.
So I'll be out there for Game 1, just because I've been – Since the game ended on Saturday, I've been like, oh, my God, Max Scherzer and Gerrit Cole are going to pitch against each other in Game 1. And the only thing that would make it better is if it was
Verlander-Scherzer,
because they were teammates for so long. But
yeah,
either way, I think both the first two games are going to be must-watch games. And there's if you're like, I want to see all the home
Corbin
runs.
Even Corbin Greinke is a good matchup.
That is good, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. I think it's going to be fun. I was just reading an article about how the Nationals have had all this success wearing their alternate Navy uniforms.
Yeah.
And if the Astros wear their alternate Navy uniforms, then the Nationals wouldn't be able to wear theirs. And apparently the Nationals have found some kind of good luck charm with these things.
Oh boy, really?
Yeah.
Really?
So the Nationals are 7-0 in their Navy blue alternates this postseason, and including 5 straight wins since facing elimination in Game 4 against the Dodgers. So that's what since they debuted those Navy alternates, the Nationals are 24-5 in Navy. So the Astros haven't worn theirs all postseason. They wear white at home typically.
Right.
But we'll see if there's any gamesmanship on the Astros' part trying to take away their lucky mojo.
Yeah, I'm going to go on record as saying the uniforms will have 0%.
What?
To do with how
the
series plays out.
It's the same thing as saying game over in the seventh inning after a 6-run lead. Yeah. It's like, oh, you jinxed it.
Oh, he's throwing a no-hitter. What? Yeah. But I'm going to throw this out now because I'm sure people are going to bring it up as we get closer. But if there were ever a time to go 1-4-7 with a guy, it'd be Gerrit Cole. And because you're probably not bringing him back, I'd throw that guy into the ground.
Yeah, but the problem that you then face is, will the results be what you want? And I think they're probably scared off after throwing Verlander on short rest.
Verlander's an older guy, though.
Cole's, yeah, but Verlander's a guy whose arm is more durable than Cole's. Verlander's a guy who gets up into the hundreds of pitches basically every game. Cole was stopping in the sixth inning almost all season long.
Yeah, that's why you use him now. I mean, this is what you have him for.
Yeah,
and I think if I think it depends on how the first three games go too. But if you're down 2-1, I definitely think about it. I'm just bringing that up now so that when it comes up here in a couple of days, you can say, "Oh yeah, I remember when you brought that up." All right, you want to look at the rest of the NFL?
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing I want to. While I'm thinking about what you just said, if you pitch Cole 1, Verlander 2. Off day 3, Greinke game 3, and then you pitch Cole game 4. Now you're pitching Verlander on 3 days rest again. Because if you're going to pitch, if you're going to pitch Cole 1-4-7, that means you're pitching Verlander and Greinke on short rest too.
I think that's where I wait and see where I am in the series. I might do it. I might just go.
I mean, if you're in desperation mode, I could see you trying to run him out there on short rest.
Yeah, I think if you're trailing in the series, definitely. But
I think they did learn a lot on that. Yeah. On that Verlander experience.
I don't feel good about doing it with Verlander. I don't think it matters with Greinke. I think you could trot him out there every day.
You probably can. Yeah. But,
all right. So let's get to the NFL. We'll start with the Falcons, who officially suck.
Oh my God.
There's no getting around it.
Yeah, I can't defend them. I mean, that's a bad football team. And I said it'd be so much easier to fire Dan Quinn after the loss to the Cardinals than it would be after the Rams game.
Yeah, and
but I think not being competitive in that Rams game, it makes it just as easy. And I'm surprised we haven't heard something yet. It's got to happen. Dan Quinn can't be the coach of that team anymore.
Arthur Blank said he stands behind him.
He said that again?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Stop. Stop standing behind him.
Maybe that's part of the problem.
The Falcons are in – say what you want about Matt Ryan, and I know there's a lot of people who don't think Matt Ryan's as good as I do. But however you measure quarterbacks, Matt Ryan's one of the 10 best quarterbacks in the league, which I don't know if there's another team in the league that has one of the 10 best quarterbacks who's just non-competitive. Is there? It typically doesn't happen.
Not this bad. I mean, I think you've had that with – well – depends on where you rank Derek Carr, because the Raiders have had some years where they were non-competitive. The Lions have definitely had some years where they were non-competitive with Matt Stafford.
It's just a rare thing, and typically when that happens, I mean, you've got to get rid of a coach. If you've got an MVP-caliber quarterback, a guy who won the MVP 2 years ago, and you're starting out like this, there's got to be an issue. Because Matt Ryan still put – well, not this week. Until this week, he was still putting up numbers. This week, he failed to put up numbers. But they've got to do something. They've got to make a change.
Bills beat the Dolphins 31-21, and if you bet the Bills minus, what, 17?
Yeah.
You knew you were dead in the first half. The Dolphins actually led this game.
Yeah, I don't think many people – again, that's one of those sides that I think most people who bet that game were betting on the Bills. And Bills actually, I mean, make a big charge in the second half and almost get away from them. But I was disappointed. That was another game that I lost because I had the under. And I was disappointed in the Bills' defensive performance. But that's – you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick, he can have those games where he jumps up and bites you, and he had a pretty good game.
The best part about that game, I don't know if you saw the highlight, but after Allen scored the touchdown, he damn near threw the ball out of the stadium.
Yeah.
When he threw it in the stands, that was pretty cool. That dude's got a gun. Jaguars-Bengals, 27-17.
19 points scored in the first three quarters, 25 points scored in the last quarter, including, what, 17 in the last three or four minutes. Gross. But, yeah, the Bengals are pretty bad. Although they looked like they were going to cover for a good chunk of that game.
Yeah. The
looked like they were going to win for a good chunk of that game.
Yeah, then you get a defensive touchdown, and, you know, that's – and they just – Dalton was terrible in the fourth quarter. Vikings beat the Lions 42-30. Dalvin Cook is
a
legitimate guy, and he makes Kirk Cousins look like – a better-than-average quarterback.
Yeah, Stephon Diggs with another big day, 7 catches, 142 yards. So the Vikings, I think, are reestablishing themselves. It's hard to trust them because of Kirk Cousins, but when you go make a short list of teams from the NFC you think can win the Super Bowl, the Vikings have to be on it.
Yeah, I would agree. Packers beat the Raiders 42-24. The Raiders were actually hanging in there until late in the game. Aaron Rodgers, first time in his career, perfect passer rating.
Yeah, he had a hell of a game, 429 yards passing. And Raiders ran the ball pretty well, but once Rodgers got rolling, defensively the Raiders just weren't up to the task. And that's really – we haven't seen this version of Aaron Rodgers in a while. I've been saying if the Packers are going to be good, it has to be on defense because they're kind of like the Saints now. Their quarterback isn't what he used to be. Well, Aaron Rodgers looked like the old Aaron Rodgers this week.
And, of course, now the stories are, oh, is Aaron Rodgers in the MVP conversation?
One game. Deshaun Watson in the MVP after he beats up the Falcons. Let's slow down.
This game made me puke. Cardinals 27, Giants 21. They put up 31 points in the first half, and you think you're coasting.
Well, a missed field goal kills the over and really kills a chance for the Giants to be in that game and cover that game. That was what it boiled down to was David Johnson was banged up, and Chase Edmonds – didn't skip a beat.
Yeah,
and he had his way with that Giants team.
The ugliest game of the day. The Redskins scored
not
zero.
Won another one of the only things I got right, Fred.
Well,
the under.
Well, the Redskins score 0 points and cover the spread.
Hell yes, they did.
9-0 49ers over the Redskins.
Yeah, this is where the 49ers, last week I was like, oh man, the 49ers are maybe for real. And then you watch this game, and obviously defensively they're still very good. But you put up 9 points against the Redskins? That's troubling, certainly. What's going on with the offense there? But the Redskins are really pathetic, but the 49ers didn't look all that great against them.
Titans beat the Chargers 23-20, or shall we say the Chargers pulled a Charger.
Chargers beat themselves 23-20, yeah. That sounds more like it.
Yeah, and that's another team that you just look at and you go, they shouldn't be this bad. Saints-Bears, we talked about a little bit in the first hour. Saints get it done 36-25. Theodore Bridgewater continues to win games. And, man, to me, every game the Saints win while Drew Brees is out is a bonus.
Yeah.
And you're going to get him back pretty soon. And this guy hasn't lost a start yet.
It's unbelievable. And it's not like he's playing out of his mind.
No, but he's got so much. Well, they didn't have Kamara this week
either. Yeah. All the more reason. Like, listen, and I'll lay it out there. This was one of my most painful games of the weekend. Because I had Bears and the under, and you think, oh, no Kamara, Trubisky versus Bridgewater. You talk about an under game in the make, and of course, the Bears returning kicks for touchdowns doesn't help. But the Saints just offensively blew up, and like I said, egg on my face, because the Saints are much better than I thought they were. Latavius Murray, I mean, filled in very well.
Yeah.
If not, he might have looked better than Kamara's looked this year. So,
man, Michael Thomas with another great
yep.
game.
The Saints are legit. I'm done thinking otherwise.
Ravens beat the Seahawks 30-16.
They could not stop Lamar Jackson on the ground.
Nope.
And
I think you've been right about the Seahawks, and finally somebody was able to take advantage of them.
Yeah.
Bit.
I mean, they've been getting by on they won four of their five games by a total of 8 points. That is not what 5-1 teams typically do. So they were due for some regression, and we saw it. And defensively, they've just got a lot of holes, and there's only so much Russ can do because he's basically the only good player on that team.
All right, we'll talk about the Eagles-Cowboys when we come back. And right now, I've tell you about Allied Outdoor Solutions. And right now, man, feel the weather getting cooler. You're going to want to stay outside. How about you beautify your backyard with custom outdoor kitchens, patio covers, fire features, and how about this? Maybe you just need to renovate what you've got, like your pool deck's starting to fade, your patio's kind of looking old, outdated driveway. Well, get the carved stone overlay. Allied Outdoor Solutions, the carved stone will give you the superior look of real stone on your existing surface for less. It's 2 times stronger than concrete, and they stand behind it with a 7-year warranty. So not only is it great, it's going to make everything look better. And, by the way, they've got several monthly payment options. They even offer 0% financing for up to 18 months. That's why everybody has great things to say about Allied Outdoor Solutions. They're an accredited member of the Better Business Bureau since 2009 with an A-plus rating. Not good at ratings, but I know A-plus is as good as it gets. Stop by the Outdoor Solutions showroom on I-10 and the Beltway today or check out the Carvestone Project's photo gallery at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. That's AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com or call for a risk-free estimate, 713-465-0400, 713-465-0400.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from tight ends in League City. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at tight ends in League City.
I don't want to get the crowd into a fervor.
A frenzy?
But John Granato is here at tight ends. John Granato.
He's John Granato. He knows.
He knows.
That's right.
Climb on, brother. Climb on.
I wish a beer loved me as much as Coors Light loves John Granato.
Yeah, that'd be nice. But I mean, how much money do you spend on one brand of beer? Do you spend nearly as much as John Granato spends on Coors Light?
No.
And John Granato probably doesn't even buy Coors Light anymore. He's
wearing a Coors Light shirt. He's here for Coors Light.
Do you think John Granato paid for that Coors Light shirt? Zero chance.
But I've seen John Granato out drinking Coors Light.
Yeah, because they deliver it to him.
I've seen him buy it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank
yeah.
Good night. All right.
Golf's a different thing.
One of the guys here was talking about how much Bridgewater would be or Breeze would be to the point spread when he comes back, and I don't think it'll be a whole lot. But it brought me to how much Patrick Mahomes is worth to the point spread, because the Kansas City Chiefs are at home, and they are 4.5-point underdogs to the Packers this week. That number tells me that Patrick Mahomes is probably worth about 8 points over Matt Moore.
God, I think I'd punch in a ticket on the Chiefs right now. I'm not that impressed with the Packers. I mean, I know that you're coming off a perfect Aaron Rodgers game, but
we saw what Deshaun did. The Chiefs will make a quarterback look really, really good.
Well, they'll make a running back look better.
That's true too.
Until last week, but. I don't know, man. I think that's too much.
There's some wild numbers on the board for next week. For the Texans are 6.5-point favorites at home against the Raiders. Vikings, we've just talked about how much better they've gotten. How about 15.5-point favorites against the Redskins?
Mm. Is that at Washington or
no? At Minnie.
Yeah.
Seattle, notoriously. Rough team to bet on the road. How about -3.5 East Coast start at Atlanta? You don't want to bet the Falcons, do you?
The Falcons have burned me enough. They're kind of like the Saints are to you.
Right.
On the opposite side here.
Saints are -9.5 against the Cardinals, hosting the Cardinals.
The Cardinals are not that bad.
I don't know. They beat the Giants.
Still.
Bears, who I'm not betting anymore, even though they should cover this, -4.5 hosting the Chargers.
That's two teams I don't want to
trash
bet anymore.
On trash. Yeah. Crime. It seems like it tells me there's a lot of trash in the NFL because there's a lot of trash games.
Yeah.
How about Jags -4.5 hosting Jets?
I might like Jets there.
Rams.
Let me see what happens tonight.
This is a gross number. Are you willing to bet this on the Rams? Rams -12.5 against the Bengals.
No.
Boy, that scares me. Lions -7 hosting Giants. Tennessee -2.5 against the Bucks. Bills -1.5 at home against the Eagles.
You know what? I don't want to get too far into this. I love the Bucks this week for a lot of reasons. You go back and look at all the traveling they had to do in that 5-week stretch that culminated with them in London.
Yeah.
And now they're coming off a bye week with plenty of time to rest.
They're still on the road.
Still. they're on the road, but it's Tennessee. It's not. They went from West Coast to East Coast to, I believe, New Orleans to London.
Yeah, L.A., New, L.A., yeah. Or Tampa to L.A. to New Orleans to London.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All in a 4-week span. And now they're coming off a bye week without all that travel. I was going to bet on them whoever they played coming off of that.
Buffalo -1.5 against Philly. Niners -5.5 hosting the Panthers.
Give me Panther.
I think so, too.
Give me Panther all day.
Colts -6 hosting Denver. And Pats -10.5 hosting Cleveland. Patriots Monday Night Football -14.5 hosting the Dolphins. There's some ugly games on the slate next week.
Yeah. A couple things from Twitter, and then we'll get to, speaking of ugly games, the Cowboys-Eagles. But Niles said, did you hear about the classy thing Brett Gardner said about the Astros after Altuve's home run? I did. I also heard Aaron Judge said the same thing. I got to tell you, these Yankees players, most of them are really likable. I think Aaron Judge is a really good dude.
I think so, too. I think that, I mean, their fans are, they're Yankee fans. They're not quite Philly fans, but they're still Yankees fans.
Well, but not all of them are bad. That's the thing. I think every fan base, including the Astros, have some crap fans.
Well, Game 6, I was sitting, there was a couple Yankee fans in front of me, and the whole row behind me was Yankee fans. And they were doing some cussing, but it was mostly at their own guys. It was really, really nasty things about Gary Sanchez for some reason. But
yeah, he's persona not grata with them.
But
right
yeah,
now.
I mean, to me, they've got some players I like. I don't know how you can not like DJ LeMahieu. Like, if you don't like DJ LeMahieu, or Aaron Judge too,
Judge is just unlikable.
Those are hard guys to dislike. But the Astros also have a ton of those guys too. Like, it's hard. I don't know who can dislike Jose Altuve.
If you hate Altuve, you hate puppies.
Yeah,
it's that simple.
Like, who doesn't like Michael Brantley? That's weird. If you don't like Michael Brantley, you're a weird dude. I think George Springer's a super likable guy. So I mean, they've got a couple guys that I can see. I can see why there's people who don't like Alex Bregman. I can see why there's people who don't like Yuli. I can see why there's people who, you know. Josh Reddick. I can see why there's people who don't like Osuna. But for the most part, they're a likable crew. So being in this town for now 10 years and covering these teams, and I have such a hard time cheering for the Rockets in their current iteration. I have. You know, there's some Texans that are easy to cheer for. But they've got a coach that I just can't get behind. So it's really refreshing to have these Astros to cheer for because they're extremely likable. They're a fun team. In Steve Sparks' voice, man, you guys are fun. Woo! This is a great team. You're going to the World Series, man. Woo! Dell hates when I do Steve Sparks' voice. Jake, man. You're the best center fielder in the whole league for my money, Jake. Thanks, man. Sparky.
It sounds like Sparky would be a guy we should party with.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. But there was a Yankees fans chanted F. Altuve.
Yeah.
But that's listen, guys, they're passionate and yeah, maybe they have more bad ones than you do, but there's some crappy Astros fans too. All you gotta do is get on Twitter. There's some things that people say that you're just like, really? And I've seen stuff at games from Astros fans. It's every fan base. It's just how many dickweeds do you have?
Yeah.
And, you know, I do think that sometimes at least here Astros fans will call out other Astros fans. I don't know if they do that in New York. That's for sure. Lamont.
Lamont, don't, that's not true. That's not true. Lamont says Brantley is the black version of Shane Battier. First of all, I think Shane Battier is black. I think Shane Battier is black.
It's a pretty good comparison in terms of what they contribute. I don't know about the other comparison, but
I don't want to get into questioning the blackness of Shane Battier or Michael Brantley, for that matter.
I'll take one. Thank you. I'll have a refreshing Coors Light.
Cold, clean, crisp.
I'm in sober October, so I can't even drink this. I'm in sober October. I can't drink this.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you do the whole. It's kind of like when you do the.
It's
lint
like your
thing.
Lint.
Yeah. Oh.
Don't worry. What a pro.
Yeah. How many of those have you had now?
welcome to the world of broadcasting, John.
You. It's a terrible time.
Oh man.
It's the best time because it rhymes with sober.
Really?
Sober. Like if I said sober January, that'd be weird.
That's like your Navy uniforms.
Come Dell on. Will drink it. It's he's not. There's no reason for him not to drink.
All right. So tell the people about what do we got here? Tri-Eagle Energy. Does that sound right? All right.
All right. I'll tell you again about Tri-Eagle. Twice in one day. Tri-Eagle's really trying to get the message to you guys. They want you to know that they're not going to jack you around on these electricity rates. And sometimes it's not fun to look for new rates with electricity. With Tri-Eagle, they make it simple. There's no hidden fees. It's an easy, fast sign-up process with no gimmicks, no surprises on your bills. In fact, you'll receive a weekly usage update, so you already have an estimate for your energy charges before your bill even hits the mail. You can lock in your rate for 12, 24, or 36 months, so you get no rate hikes. They keep it simple. The rate you see, that's the rate you pay. There's no gimmicks. There's no minimum usage fees, no charges for going over a certain amount of electricity. It's good, honest business from a good, honest, born in Texas company. And they're offering a discount to our listeners. Use promo code ESPN when you sign up. What are you waiting for, guys? 877-93-EAGLE. Visit TriEagleEnergy.com. That's TRIEagleEnergy.com. Promo code ESPN. PUCT license number 10064.
Mom, I'll see you again.
ESPN 97.5. This is an ESPN 97.5 road show, live from Tight Ends in League City. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. And huge morning show presence here with Dell out here with us. Granado is giving away Coors Lights, by the way.
Yeah, John Granado has offered to buy you a Coors Light. You want a Coors Light?
Go see John.
Come say hey to John Granado.
Yeah, he's right here at the table next to us.
That's right.
And joining us now, the other part of the morning show, Lance Zierlein.
What's up,
going
guys?
On, man?
How you doing?
We're great. We are wondering, for 2 weeks we heard that the Texans were now the Super Bowl champions because no sacks, Deshaun Watson, MVP. And then it's a funny thing that happened. They played a team that can play a little bit of defense, and suddenly they were in a ball game again. Do you think we got a little too up during the Chiefs-Falcons run, or are we getting too down about this one particular game?
Maybe a combination. You know, I don't think the Chiefs are playing very good football, and the Falcons are a terrible team, and I think Dan Quinn is next to get fired. But by the same token, they put 400 yards on the Colts. I mean, they were kind of their own worst enemies, to be honest with you. They lost Will Fuller, which is going to happen. They got bogged down in the red zone with 3 field goals early on. And then, you know, Deshaun, I think the last interception is understandable. Darius Leonard made a really good play. The first interception was a really bad decision by Deshaun and just a bad technical throw. I mean, he just threw across his body. His feet weren't set. I thought it was a pretty even game between the two teams. It's just when it came down to it, they didn't have people to cover. You know, they didn't have people to cover T.Y. and Zach Pascal. I mean, they're running out of cornerback options, and I guess that's one of the reasons why they fired a third rounder into the Oakland Raiders draft capital in exchange for a guy who's been a little bit of a disappointment up to this point, Gerrion Conley.
I was talking about this earlier, but I think it was just, yeah, I'm not that bothered by this loss, frankly, because from a matchup perspective, the Colts took advantage of the cornerbacks being out. And then it got worse when Gibson got hurt because then they couldn't cover the tight ends.
And then Phillip Gaines.
I mean, he was actually playing pretty well for him.
Could McKinney have had a worse game with the penalty, the really costly penalty?
Yeah.
And then knocking out his own teammate?
I mean, that was – so that plays into what I talked about earlier where they were their own worst enemies. I mean, what a terrible penalty that is. That gave them 4 points. You gave the Colts 4 points. And Fred, I kind of felt the same way. That's why I thought it was such an overplay yesterday because the Colts are beat up in the secondary. And then you have the Texans who – you know, don't have Bradley Roby. J. Joe was out very, very quickly in that game. He was in, and then he was out. And then, you know, you already weren't good enough at corner without Roby in there anyway. I just felt like it was going to be one of those games where it was going to be a little bit tough for either team to stop the other one. But, you know, the big bugaboo popped up again, which is the inability to cover tight ends. That also got them at one point. But I felt like it actually I still feel like the Texans and Colts are a fairly even team now with Andrew Luck out of the mix. But, you know, the Texans find ways to lose over the Bill O'Brien regime, you know, during his time there. I mean, they've got wins. They've got some division titles. It's just that in games like this, they tend to find ways to lose instead of ways to overcome and win. That's just been what it is.
Kind of what Fred and I talked about when we were looking at this game last week is we agree the Colts and Texans are fairly even teams. Mm-hmm. But if you've got two pretty even teams and one of them has Bill O'Brien and one of them has Frank Reich, which one do you want to be?
Well, you favor Frank Reich, and I know he doesn't have the same sample size in terms of being a head coach, but the sample size we have on him is pretty good, and his guys play for him. And you know, we talked about it on our morning show on the bench, but at the time, I know it was heavily criticized the fact that Frank Reich ended up basically taking a loss instead of a tie when he went for it on the fourth down rather than punting it. But I was told at the time, and it's really turned into good information, that they wanted to create a culture of winning, not a culture of tying, not a culture of, well, let's see what happens next. I mean, they truly believe in Indianapolis that there's only one way to win, and that's not to play scared and to go in and play like you're in control of the game. And I'll give Bill O'Brien a lot of credit for this, too. He doesn't really play scared from the standpoint of the fourth downs and opportunities where they have a chance to seize control of the of a game and try to make it their own rather than being defensive. And they did it again yesterday, but then Dan Skipper had a 5-yard penalty that forced him to end up punting. So they had a variety of self-inflicted wounds that really ended up doing them in. But you know what the Colts didn't do is they didn't have self-inflicted wounds. And they didn't last year. They don't this year. I mean, at some point you start to say, this is a cause for concern because it happens year after year. And this team, this is one of the reasons why they can turn an 8-win team into a 10-win team and a playoff run.
Well, J.J. wasn't there long enough to get a holding call on a third down.
No.
And there were so many defensive penalties that you just couldn't get off the field. Man, how do you fix this?
I don't know. The NFL had to address it after the first 2 weeks. There was like a record number of penalties the first 2 weeks. And then the league, from what I understand, said, hey, let's slow this down. I know we wanted to make a point of emphasis on offensive holdings and things like that, but I really think the big problem in the secondary, Fred, and this doesn't really get to J.J. because he's a veteran, but when I watch all my draft stuff, when I watch the cornerbacks in college, they are allowed to mug. I mean, they're allowed to grab guys 7, 8, 10 yards down the field. They let them get away with it, and I think a lot of the guys coming into the league have bad technique. They don't trust their technique and trust their feet, and they just rely on being grabby players. In the NFL, it's called so differently in the NFL than in college football when it comes to what they let defensive players get away with and beyond 5 yards, that I think it's just turned into a major issue from a transition standpoint. I think most of the penalties that are being called are typically interference or defensive holdings, and I think it's on the defensive coordinators to really make a point of emphasis of just playing with better technique and better footwork, to be honest with you.
What's your best guess on the Texans starting offensive line next week?
Well, I mean, I think it's going to be I want to wait and see what happens with Roderick. If Dan Skipper's in there, it's going to be a big problem. I do think you'll see. I don't know. Let's see. Let's see if they try to Max Sharping out there at right tackle. I think Sharping gives you a better chance than Dan Skipper. Honestly, Max Sharping at right tackle and you play, Mance or Senio Kelemete or whoever at the guard spot, that actually might be something they look at, because Dan Skipper, I don't think, is talented enough to hang in an NFL game. So I think they may have to look at something other than Dan Skipper at that right tackle spot if Roderick Johnson isn't able to go. And frankly, I think Roderick is very average anyway.
Yeah, and I guess there's no word on how long Titus Howard's going to be out, that or Bradley Roby for that matter. That was a guy they really missed yesterday.
Yeah, I know it's been behind the scenes. People are thinking it may be until after the bye week. So maybe looking at about a month out for both those guys.
Before we let you go, last week we had talked earlier about the MVP candidates, and it seemed like maybe like a 4-horse race last week going into this week with Mahomes, Watson, Wilson, and McCaffrey. I don't think anybody had an up arrow next to their name this week. And Mahomes obviously being out for a couple weeks at minimum. isn't great for him. Who do you think is the lead dog in the MVP race at this point?
Well, I think you really have to start taking a look at Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I know he doesn't have a ton of touchdowns right now, but he's got 13. He's got two interceptions. And that team is winning at a much higher clip. They've had so much hype surrounding them for so many years, and this is the year they kind of came in under the radar, and is it Minnesota, is it Chicago, and all of a sudden Aaron Rodgers is sitting there putting together another solid campaign. His team is winning. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be one of those guys who is, I mean, Christian McCaffrey will be in there. I think Tom Brady is going to eventually, you're going to start hearing his name mentioned a lot more in that conversation, and it would really help if he had a big game tonight against the Jets, although I'm personally not cheering for it from a fantasy standpoint. But I do think Aaron Rodgers is going to be the guy that you're going to start to hear his name pop up again, because they're winning football games, and, you know, he's not turning the ball over.
All right, that's Lance Erline. Well, he lied. I want to ask you one more question.
Yeah.
You talk about how in college these guys can be more grabby and get away with things. As somebody who scouts this, how do you measure what guys will be able to do when they can't do that when they get to the NFL?
So that's really hard. I mean, that's the hard part, and that's one of the things that is difficult about projecting college to pro football. We always talk about offensive linemen or quarterbacks, but cornerbacks is another one. And I think what you have to do is, and I talked to a defensive back coach who is where's Kevin Ross right now? He's with Tampa Bay Bucks. So Kevin Ross was on the Arizona staff with my dad, and I asked him the same question. And what he told me about Lonnie Johnson, I'll give you an example. He told me that Lonnie Johnson at Kentucky, I said, Coach, man, he never finds the football. He doesn't get his eyes around, he blah, blah, blah. He said, I went and watched his college tape because I wanted, he said his college practice tape, because I wanted to see how he was being coached. And I wanted to see if there were things that we could change from a coaching standpoint so that we could fix those things. And he said, and I did see some things that I think we could change about Lonnie. I think the same thing is true with some of these guys who just play with their hands instead of their feet. The first thing you have to see is, do they have good feet? Do they have good hips? And then secondly, you have to see, are there opportunities in coverage where they have shown that they've at least flashed the ability to do that? Because if you show it on tape two or three times, that means you have the ability to do things. And in this particular case, it's moving your feet and trusting your technique. If you have the ability to do that, then it's up to a coach to get that out of you on a consistent basis. If you don't see it on tape anywhere, then I wouldn't trust it. If you're planning on your guy being a mirror and match cornerback, you better just make him a press corner who beats up on people on trails. And frankly, that's what Lonnie Johnson is, if you really want to know the truth.
All right, that's Lance Erline. You can hear him every Monday through Friday, 7 to 9:30, along with John Granato, along with Dell, who John and Dell are also out here. Lance, appreciate
it. Is Dell talking to John, or is Dell off by himself somewhere?
No. They're, yeah.
John is, well, they're both
texting.
Like
two 15-year-old girls are both on their phones staring at it, texting.
John is drinking, Dell is not. I know how it goes.
Yes. Hey, John gave me a Coors Light, so he's cool by me.
All right.
Climb on, brother.
All right, man, we'll talk to you soon.
All right,
bud.
Take care, guys.
More importantly, Nick Sciarra's in the house. Nick,
more importantly?
Yeah, he may be the most popular guy here. I know he's gotten a hug from every single young lady who works here.
Huh.
So.
Put in that work, huh?
I'm telling you. Well.
Good for him.
This is his spot. So, you want to meet Nick Sciarra? Now's your chance. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN. 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from tight ends in League City. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at tight ends, League City, where Nick Sciarra is a god.
That's
John Granato's out here as well. Dell's out here. They're all God, kind of demigods, I would say. But Granato desperately trying to get people to take his Coors Light. He's giving them away. It's like we do with winners. He's giving them away.
So you can move on this Coors Light as if it's already been drank.
Exactly. Exactly. He's pushing it. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers.
It's free.
Yes. Yeah, he's giving it away free because that's what he does. All you have to do is climb on, brother. So, all right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, we go to India, better known as the Florida of India. We get a lot of gems from India. Usually it involves selfies. This is does not involve a selfie. This involves a man climbing a fence and jumping into the lion enclosure at a zoo, sitting down cross-legged in front of a fully grown male lion, and then moving around in an attempt to taunt the lion.
Well, did it go well?
Well, security tried to stop the 25-year-old from jumping into the exhibit but couldn't get to him in time. Somehow he survived. I guess the lion was just kind of bored and didn't do anything.
He didn't feel like murdering that.
Yeah, because he could have ripped this guy to shreds.
That's nice of him.
And then, of course, they say the man is mentally unstable. But let's be honest, if you climb...
Is that a nice way of saying he's stupid?
Well, what mentally stable person is going to jump a fence...
It doesn't seem smart.
...in front of a lion, sit down in front of it, and then taunt the lion? Unless alcohol's involved.
Yeah, that always changes the dynamic. But.
Yeah, but that's still... So, apparently, zoo officials and the fire team managed to chase the lion away. Okay, this is what pisses me off. They had to tranquilize the animal.
What?
So they could get the guy out. That sucks. The lion is just doing what lions do. He's sitting there minding his own business in his enclave.
Well, they tranquilized him. That means he just took a nap.
So what? He shouldn't have to be tranquilized for that.
Dell wants a nap. Dell, would you be mad if I tranquilized you right now and you just slept for the next hour and a half? Would you be upset?
No.
No.
What if your trank dart hit an artery and he bled to death?
Well, that's a problem.
But
for me.
The lion bleed to death or did he just sleep for a little while?
It could have hit him in an artery.
Oh,
it could have hit him in a bad spot.
Play the could have game.
No, we're playing the could have game.
He's
because
fine.
The lion was minding his own damn business. So you're pro crazy person is what you're telling me.
No. Listen, no. I went to bat for Harambe. Listen, they go start killing animals.
Oh, yeah, because that was a big movement. This poor lion gets tranked.
First of all,
he didn't get murdered.
Follow the money with Harambe, as Raheel would say. Harambe was clearly a move to promote King Kong because that movie's coming out the same time. They shot that poor gorilla to promote that movie.
I'll be honest. Harambe's really dead. King Kong didn't make enough money to warrant murdering Harambe.
Well, you try think something. Sometimes
that's a really bad market. Whoever marketed that they should be fired.
Follow the money.
See, we should have murdered a clown to help the Joker.
Wait, didn't the Lion King just come out like recently?
Yeah, it's been a while. I mean, it's out of the theaters.
Okay, live action Lion King.
Well, it's about to be available on Blu-ray then.
Oh, is the Disney app about to launch?
Disney Plus or Disney Plus? Yeah, it's coming.
So follow the money, right?
You always follow the money. you think that guy's not a bad actor? I'm pretty sure they threw that guy in there, and Disney's like, look, we got you taken care of. There's a guy in the background with a dart. You'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Yeah. How fast does a tranquilizer dart work on a lion? Can't be instant, right?
No, it can't be.
Is it like the movie where they take a couple steps and then they take a couple slower steps?
Well, it worked pretty fast on Will Ferrell in Old School.
Was that Will Ferrell or Steve Sparks post-game in the Astros clubhouse?
I think it was Will Ferrell.
Why does it touch your lips? It feels so good. That was Steve Sparks.
Oh, God. Regardless, that is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Aaron just told us it takes 10 to
What'd
20
you say?
Minutes.
According to Google, it takes about 10 to 20 minutes to knock out a lion with a tranquilizer dart, depending on what drugs they put in it.
I'm mostly talking to John Granato, who just said Harambe deserved to die.
No. Okay, you gotta cut him off of the Coors Light. I had another one that was that I was going to use as the gem. Did you see that Tupac was arrested in Tennessee for meth possession?
No.
And threatening officers with a knife?
That seems difficult to pull off, but I'm not going to argue.
Well, it was not the rap legend.
Was it a hologram Tupac?
It was not a hologram or the rap legend. It was a man named Tupac A. Shakur, and he was arrested in Tennessee, and that's what he looks like. Meth may have been involved.
Did he change his name at some point, or was that his birth given name?
It just says he shares the same name and even middle initial.
Yeah.
So for all of you saying he's still alive, he is. He's just white and in Tennessee. And
what's his middle name? Is it Amaru?
It says the same initial. It's A.
Oh, okay. It's got to be something more methy.
Yeah. Anthony.
Al. Just Al. And they're like, does that stand for Alex or Albert? No, just Al.
But yeah, shocker. Police said they found a syringe and multiple baggies of methamphetamine on Shakur. Speaking of meth.
That's rough because that is because, you know, Tupac is an icon. And obviously when you think of Tupac, you realize that he is or was a black man. And now us, the white man, are besmirching his name even after death and by having headlines that say Tupac Shakur arrested with methamphetamines because a white guy is trying to hold the black man down.
I think he's just trying to hold the meth down.
Maybe.
But speaking of meth, I watch...
Speaking of meth, Nick is here.
I already mentioned that. We already talked about how popular
he is. I know, but now
we're
speaking
of meth. Maybe
that's
why he's so popular with all the women.
Yeah.
He's out there dishing out the blue stuff. I watched the Breaking Bad movie this weekend, finally.
Did you hate it?
I didn't hate it, but I thought it was kind of the Breaking Bad episode that we never really needed to see or wanted to see.
Okay. I actually thought it was entertaining, and then it ended, and I was like, what the hell was that? Like, there's no ending. I don't know how they were supposed to end it. It just wasn't supposed to be like that. It's kind of like girls' eyebrows. I don't know how girls' eyebrows are supposed to look. I know how they're not supposed to look. I can point that out from across, like, oh, her eyebrows are messed up. I don't know what they're really supposed to look like. I don't know what that ending was supposed to be, but it wasn't supposed to be that.
Yeah, my concern with it all along, and everybody was telling me, oh, you're going to love it, but any movie that's all about Jesse was never going to be anything I really enjoyed because I just don't find him an interesting character. And then when you throw Todd in there for as much of it as they did, it was...
Boy, you talk about guys who haven't aged well.
Oh, no, he looks like
dude,
way older.
He looks like hell. Like, he looks like he's... Like, since Breaking Bad ended, he's just been sleeping underwater, and he's just soaked up a bunch of water, and he's now, like, bloated.
Well, I'll tell you this. If we have a Deadpool next year, he's one of my picks.
That guy used to play for the Dillon Panthers. Now he looks like garbage.
Sometimes veterans, it's probably all the drugs he did for the Dillon Panthers.
What
did Dell do?
Dell got it. He got my joke. Nobody else
did.
Well,
he probably did a lot of steroids back then.
You just didn't watch Friday Night Lights.
No.
I forget that you're not a Friday Night Lightser.
No, I'm not. But
one of the greatest shows ever, by the way.
I will say that it wasn't bad, but it wasn't very good either. And so if you're kind of on the fence, don't bother, would be my suggestion.
Look, Todd wasn't a bit character, but he was on Friday Night Lights, just making his way. He marries Kirsten Dunst, and he's like, look, I'm giving up.
That guy's married to Kirsten Dunst?
They're at least together as partners or married.
Well, yeah. They did Fargo together.
Okay, let's talk about something as hetero men right here.
Okay.
That's an ugly dude.
He's talented. He's a creative. That always helps your
cause.
See,
that's why.
I don't even think he's that good of an actor.
Well,
does he like, I mean,
this guy
is he,
called
does
him
he,
Meth Damon.
Does he write stuff? Or
I don't know what he does, but he's in a lot of things. And women like a creative type.
Boy,
that's what gives me hope. That's what gives me hope.
What's Kirsten Dunst look like these days? Has she gone downhill?
She's in her late 30s, what you might expect at a late 30s Kirsten Dunst.
Oh, I think she's older than that.
That's older than that now?
That's a bad age for women, late 30s, huh? Is that? I mean, not my wife. Who's? I mean.
That's worse than my Harambe comment.
I feel like it gets better for them, you know.
After Kirsten Dunst is 37, she looks about 50.
Well, he said it was a bad age.
She yeah. hasn't aged well either. But
no, I don't like that.
Yeah, see, this is. Well, you remember in Fargo, I didn't.
Well,
even,
she's ballooning up just like her husband.
I didn't even recognize her in Fargo the first couple episodes. I'm like, that's Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah,
as I just remember her from Bring Spider-Man on, when she was
Spider-Man,
hot.
Yeah,
she was hot in Spider-Man. And Bring It On.
So.
Landry wasn't hot in Friday Night Lights, but at least he wasn't bloated.
Telling you, if you're creative and you're an actor, it helps.
I can't believe that that's going on. Look at them.
Just saying, I like it whenever anyone disgusting succeeds. It gives me hope.
Well, you've got hope then, I guess.
Yeah, see? So there you have it.
Oh, no. Greg Oden's trending on Twitter.
Uh-oh.
What do you think it is?
Trending with Zion.
Is it his crank or did he die?
Maybe they're just comparing
comparing him to Zion. Oh, poor Zion. Greg Oden 2.0.
Why is Chris Cornell trending?
I bet he died. $20 says he died.
He did several years
again?
ago.
Again? He died again?
Your Houston trendings? Jaylen Brown. I guess he got a new contract. Arsenal.
They lost?
I don't know if they lost or not.
Yeah, they did.
Okay. Red Ribbon Week.
I don't know what that
hashtag
is.
Red Ribbon Week. And Conley, trending with Gary and Conley. So there you have it.
Hmm.
All right. What do we have?
Oh, I think I figured out what it is.
What?
I think Rolling Stone made a list of greatest singers of all time. Maybe we can get into that on the other side.
Yeah.
That's a whole conversation in itself.
Yeah, that could...
All right.
I'm very skeptical of that.
I got to tell you about my computer career. Let's talk about Anna, who back in May was working at Walmart, and she heard an ad on the radio that changed her life. And I don't know for a fact that she heard me read the commercial, but probably was me, because I'm what a lot of people call a life changer. And she had no IT experience at all, and guess what? Now she started her new career. 4 months later, starting her IT career, and get this, hired by a My Computer Career graduate. Don't be afraid of the future. Be a part of it. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take their free career evaluation today, and you can start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. No computer experience or training? Oh, well. Helping people start an IT career from scratch is what they do. You'll attend classes online or on campus just twice a week, and you're going to get everything you need. More than just a school, too. They help you get into the industry because they work with employers that hire their student. Classes start soon. Go take that free career evaluation today. MyComputerCareer.edu. It's not rocket science. It's MyComputerCareer.edu.
Here we go.
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
The very best days.
ESPN 97.5.
Except no substitutes.
College football fans, remember to keep it interesante this football season. Just like Dos Equis.